For book lovers, there's not much that beats a warehouse of new, used, and rare books. And there are signs independent bookstores are growing in the Midwest. It's Wednesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, between now and New Year's, we'll be revisiting some of our favorite stories of the year. Today, we've got a story about Wisconsin bookstores and one from a Milwaukee area street that's decked out in holiday cheer. Stay with us.
It's been a challenging year for public media.
The stories you treasure, from unforgettable documentaries to trusted journalism and local voices, thrive because of you. Your year-end gift supports far more than programs.
Your gift powers a space where children learn, teachers find support, and neighbors stay informed.
Thank you for standing with public media in Wisconsin at wpr.org/donate.
Over the summer, WPR reporters took you on trips all over the state for our Wisconsin Road Trip series. As we close out 2025, we'll be revisiting some of those road trips. Here's producer Bridget Bowden with a story about an independent bookstore that's become a destination for readers.
Even in our era of two-day shipping and instant downloads, many booksellers are finding that readers still want the connection of finding their next read in-store. WPR's Hope Kerwin hit the road for our Wisconsin Road Trip series to visit a unique bookstore in the Driftless area of southwestern Wisconsin that's bringing in more customers every year.
It's another room that's mainly on the outer walls, all fiction. And then
Eddie Nix opened Driftless Books and Music in Viroqua more than 20 years ago. The used bookstore is located in a century-old warehouse, left over from the days when local farmers grew tobacco for extra cash. The brick building still has Viroqua Leaf Tobacco Company painted across the front in fading black and white letters. But today, the two-story warehouse is packed with used books, organized in a maze of bookshelves and stacked onto every surface.
I mean, there's always more coming in than are going out on any given day, which, yeah, is kind of maddening. But somehow the universe just makes a little more space every day.
Shelves stretch from the creaky wooden floors to the exposed rafters. It's the kind of place where you can easily lose track of the hours spent browsing and will likely walk away with a book or two you didn't know you were looking for. Nix's store has become a destination for book lovers from Wisconsin and across the Midwest. During the busy summer months, he says it's not unusual to have 10 customers waiting to check out, some from as far away as Chicago or Minneapolis.
I can kind of hear them when they come in, and a lot of times it'll be like, oh, that smell, it smells so good. You know, there's something about decomposing paper that gives just some homey smell feel.
2024 was the first time in-store sales exceeded the profits Nix gets from selling rare books online. And he's not the only independent seller seeing more customers walk through their doors. Grace Hagen from the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association says increased demand has supported new stores opening around the association's nine-state region. Hagen says interest in buying from indie bookstores picked up during the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's continued thanks to the growing community of readers on social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram.
I don't know where bookstores would be if that technology didn't exist, because that is a group of people that are huge consumers.
She says booksellers have also seen more sales in response to the rise in book bans at libraries. Many stores have made it a point to advertise the availability of banned books, from stories of Black and LGBTQ people to topics like abortion.
I think it is a place that people feel more comfortable accessing that information.
She says bookstores have become important places for readers to connect, from community events to weekly book clubs. It's something Nix has prioritized for years at Driftless Books and Music, where he's hosted hundreds of book readings, concerts, and even potluck dinners. And across the state in Milwaukee, Satonia Weston says events are a critical way to attract customers to her newly opened store, Niche Book Bar.
You know, maybe they're there for the poetry event and maybe they're not huge readers, but okay, maybe something catches their eye.
Weston has been working to open her bookstore since 2018. She sold books from a bicycle-pulled cart during the pandemic before finally opening her brick-and-mortar location earlier this year. Niche Book Bar offers a wide variety of books from Black authors and has an in-store cafe serving coffee and wine. Weston says she loves the daily rhythms of opening the store.
Flipping the sign, updating the chalkboard, putting it out, just those sort of things.
And she loves helping customers connect with a book that she enjoyed as a reader. She's found that as much as her customers are there to find their next to be read, they're also looking to connect with her as a fellow book lover.
WPR's Hope Kerwin brought us that story on Driftless Books and Music. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Bridget Bowden.
Coming up, we'll take a trip to Candy Cane Lane. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, on this Christmas Eve, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a trip to a winter wonderland.
Every night between Thanksgiving and Christmas, about 300 homes in a West Dallas neighborhood light up their houses and their yards with their best holiday decor. Candy Cane Lane has been a staple since 1985, serving as a spectacular tradition for many families and friends. WPR's Mallory Chang takes us on a tour of the festive streets.
Candy Cane Lane has been one of the places that a lot of my friends from the Milwaukee area said I should visit, but I have to admit, I hadn't gotten a chance to yet, until tonight.
First impressions, walking through Candy Cane Lane, a lot of candy canes. Okay, there's a lot of lights on this one. This one has a giant abominable snowman. Not a lot of inflatables on this one.
Okay, but enough excitement. I was running late to meet Ken Perkle.
I'm not an inflatable guy.
Perkle has been living in the neighborhood for more than two decades, and he's been decorating the whole time, but he officially joined the Candy Cane Lane Committee in 2006.
I moved in, and I didn't know that Candy Cane Lane was quite like this. I thought, you know, this is a great thing, and it's a lot of fun, and I started decorating really, you know, a lot.
He refers to his style as traditionalist. Perkle doesn't have many LED lights or inflatables.
I got a lot of hodgepodge of it, a lot of different things. I got my big maple tree all lit up, and then I pick up things along the way.
In front of his house, he has a mannequin dressed up as Santa Claus leaning up against a fireplace mantle with an adult beverage, a sign that says Reindeer Crossing, along with an abundance of decor hanging from the tree.
I'm gonna just say that I'm a fan of the penguins and the hot air balloon.
Yes. Yeah, there was a lady and her kids came through last night and she goes, oh yeah, the penguins from Madagascar, you know? And I go, yeah, they're up in the tree up there, you know?
I'm assuming your house is your favorite house.
There's a house on 94th Street that's very elaborate, very cool. You know, he's got all these lights on stuff.
So we walked over.
Oh, that's the one?
Yeah, it's the one.
That's why I was a little late. I was staring at this one. There's so much to look at.
I know, and he does this all by himself.
Speaking of appearances, Perkle happens to look a lot like a certain famous jolly white bearded man.
I'm Santa!
Hey guys, how you doing tonight, huh?
Does that happen a lot?
It happens all the time. All year long.
A huge part of Candy Cane Lane is their annual partnership with Midwest Athletes Against Childhood Cancer, also known as the MAC Fund. According to Perkle, they've been collecting donations since around 1987 to support a neighborhood kid who was diagnosed with cancer.
Jeremy Klein was diagnosed at 5 years old with cancer. And they started decorating, and people started driving through to look at their decorations. And some of the people said, you know what, we should go out there and put a bucket out there and get some money for the family. And they collected, I think, like $1,500 or $1,600 the first year. They thought, this is really good. So they contacted the MAC Fund, and they started Candy Cane Lane.
Since Candy Cane Lane started collecting donations, they've raised more than $3.5 million to the MAC Fund. And Jeremy Klein.
He's probably 45 years old now, you know, and he survived. He's a survivor.
Perkle plans to keep decorating his house and standing out in the street with the other volunteers as long as he can.
It's not only a tradition for us to decorate, it's a tradition for the people coming through. I'm getting to be close to 80 years old and my body's wearing down, so I don't know how long I would be standing out here, but I'll probably be out here in a wheelchair and get somebody to decorate.
But before we left, WPR photojournalist Angela Major and I needed to do one final walk through Candy Cane Lane.
There's a NASCAR one on the corner right here. My brain is so happy to be here. There's so many things to look at.
Really cool.
Oh,
look at that.
That's so funny.
That was WPR Midday host and podcast producer Mallory Chang. Candy Cane Lane is open until Christmas Day. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday, Christmas Eve. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Hope you have a great holiday if you're celebrating, and if you're not, I still hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.